take my family, 'cause this home belongs to the Lord. No, I'm not afraid to remind him he has no claim in this war. And I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Future is glory to glory. My freedom's been purchased in full. For all of the weight of his suffering, the Lamb will receive his reward. As I plead the blood, I plead the blood.
Good morning, and welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. My name is Cindy Kelly, and it is my distinct honor and privilege to welcome you to our beach service here at beautiful Edwalene State Park. We consider this a no-judgment zone. What does that mean? That means we want you to worship our Lord and Savior as you feel comfortable with. If you want to stand, stay seated, sing, lift your hands up. We're glad that you're here. You'll find in your worship folder a blue connection card. If this is the first time that you've visiting with us, if you'll give us a little bit more information, some contact information, so we can stay in touch with you and share the wonderful things that God is doing in our church. We'll take those up at the end of the service when we take up our offering. We're going to continue in the Gospel of Luke, What's Jesus? And this one, it says heart, question mark. Pastor Ray is going to bring our sermon today, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit has laid on him the wonderful word of God to give to us this morning. I was looking at the worship bulletin when it came across the email this past week, And I'm a song person. I love the worship and song. The first song is Make Room. So I queued it up on Spotify and I've been wearing it out. But then what I noticed, what resonated to me is making room for Him. Laying it all down, laying it down, and what He wants to do in your life. What He wants to do in my life. I encourage you as we start with that first song to really concentrate on those words and see what God is speaking to you through the worship and song. Let us open up with a word of prayer now. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's with a heart of gratitude that we come to you this morning, thanking you that we can assemble in corporate worship to acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, may there not be any hindrances in what we're doing here today. Father, may you bring down your Holy Spirit and the Word of God delivered to us from Pastor Ray will be in everyone's heart and will walk away changed. Father, we know that there's nothing impossible with you. Father, may we lay our burdens at the foot of the cross, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. In your mighty Son's name, amen.
Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Oh, shake up the ground of all my traditions. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Oh, shake up the ground. All my traditions and break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. And I will make room for you. whatever you want to, and we will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my, and I will make room for you. Come do whatever you want. Oh, do whatever you want to, and we will make room for you to do whatever you want to, to do whatever you want to. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. Jealous for me, he loves like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. Affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. His portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. And if grace is an ocean we're all sinking. And so heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart, it turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, sing it straight to him. Yeah, you love us. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you love us. How you love us. Oh, sing that one more time. Yeah, you love us.
I'm Pastor Ray, and I have the privilege of delivering the message this morning to you. And we begin with a word of prayer. Can we do that? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we know how much you loved us, that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. That's how much you loved us. And so often, Lord, we get brought down by the world, and our heart sinks. We become depressed and complacent toward your love for us. When we leave here today, Lord, renew our strength, renew our faith, renew our zeal because of your love. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you're welcome in this place. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would, your word would come forth and bear much fruit among us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. If you haven't taken time, please get out your outline. We're going to get to it in a minute. And Pastor Jason is out and about, and he's probably listening to us right now this morning. So good to see you, brother. We're gonna do this. How many of you are dog lovers? Any dog lovers out? Wow, my goodness. All right. How many of you have at least one dog? Two dogs. Anybody have more than two dogs? More than two dogs? Three? Anybody beat three? Going once, going twice? How many? Six? Eight. Oh, my goodness. There's counseling for that. My wife and I, Debbie, she's over here. We've got a dog, and she's a golden retriever. She's called English Cream. That means she's really, really white. And she's just turned 2 years old. Her name is Lily. And twice a day, early in the morning and late in the evening, we go out to Eglin Air Force Base to the bird dog training range out on Eglin, and it's a wooded area, and it's a field that used to be cut down, but it's all grown up now, but it's way off in the woods. Eglin Air Force Base, if you don't know it, is the largest land-based Air Force military base in the whole United States. It covers over 500,000 acres, for example. It is 640 square miles. And it's easy to get lost out there. Every time I go out there, if I'm riding around, I always have a full tank of gas so that I don't run out of gas out there. I drive a Jeep Wrangler. It's a red chili pepper. It's a 1998 Jeep. And it's a rag top. That means the top can come off. And I've had that since 1997. It's a wonderful thing to ride around in the fields. And a year ago, we were early in the morning. I loaded up Lily, and we went for a walk in the field. And after our walk, I decided to drive around the perimeter of the field. And as we were driving around, she must have saw something, but Lily jumped out of the Jeep. And when she jumped out of the Jeep, side of the Jeep, her leash caught on something, and it pulled her back. She landed right underneath my back tire of my Jeep Wrangler. and I ran over her nose. In fact, when I stopped, I looked, and out in the rearview mirror, she was caught underneath the wheel, and she pulled her head out, and blood was running down her face. And I ran, I jumped out of the Jeep to grab her, and she took off running. She was too fast for me. She was dragging her leash, running away. I kept yelling, "Lily! Lily!" And she was afraid. That fight or flight took in, and she was fleeing the area. Debbie and I desperately searched for her, but there was no sign of her. That was Monday, August 14th. It was 6:30 in the morning. She hadn't eaten since the night before. Our son Austin and his wife Danielle were in town, and they immediately made lost dog posters and put it on Facebook, and they put it posters up all in the area for people to see if they saw her. We needed all the help we could get. We had dozens of people searching in the woods for Lily. Time was of the essence. Like I say, Lily was just 1 year old. She was 48 pounds. And it was very hot out there. And we had all these people looking for her. And we said, how can she survive in these woods? And that Monday, we searched for her till after midnight. Couldn't find her. So we left my Jeep Wrangler out in the woods with the tailgate open and the ramp down. So if she found the Jeep, she could get up in it and spend the night in it. In fact, we spent the night out there the first night, no sign of her. So Debbie and I took the week off and we started searching for Lily. And on Tuesday morning, we set out 14 water dishes, 14 food dishes to help. If she were to find the dishes, keep her alive. And the coyotes ate all the food and carried all the dishes off into the woods and chewed them up. So we stopped feeding the coyotes, but kept water in the dishes. Every day we would fill the water dishes twice a day. And it wasn't just the coyotes that concerned us. It was the bears that we saw. It was the poisonous snakes. It was the wild hogs. We knew if we didn't find Lily, she would die in the woods. So we brought her crate from home and her bedding and her toys, and we put it out there on the dog training field, hoping that if she saw it, she would climb in and feel safe. And Debbie would take a broom and sweep around the area to make it smooth in case she came, we could see her tracks. Remember, she's pulling her leash. We were praying for a miracle. We needed a miracle. Dozens of people were looking for Lily. We had the military police from Eglin Air Force Base. We had the federal wildlife officers out looking. We had the staff from Jackson Guard that were out on the reservation searching for Lily. It was a search and rescue mission. After Monday and Tuesday passed, no sign of her. And knowing that she was injured, I told my wife, I said, we need to start looking for buzzards. Because her injuries may have been so bad that she bled to death and she's lying somewhere dead. The buzzards will find her and we'll know where she's at. To say we were discouraged is an understatement. Then on Wednesday morning, we got a phone call from someone who saw one of our posters and said, I saw your dog. I went, you did? Where? And he says, on Ranger Road. And so we met him on Ranger Road, and I said, what did you see? He said, I saw this white animal on the side of the road. I thought it was an albino deer, baby deer. And I looked, and she was pulling a leash, and I had a collar on. So I knew it was your dog. But she ran from me. I said, how did she look? Well, she looked okay, but she was scared. So we met him there and found no sign of Lily. It was encouraging. Now we know Lily's alive. We saw it as a blessing because she was pulling her leash and she left tracks in a long line where the leash would drag in the dirt. And we could see, well, that's Lily. She's somewhere out here. The bad news is, what if she gets hung up in the brush? We'll never find her. She would die from heat exhaustion and starvation and water dehydration if she got hung up in the weeds. So that concerned us. On Wednesday afternoon, we got a call from two searchers. They spotted Lily on a narrow dirt road about a mile from when she just disappeared, and they called her, but she ran away. I knew the road, so I drove around the other side and parked my Jeep and started walking down that road. And I came around a corner, and there she was. She's about from 40 yards away from here to the boardwalk. So I immediately took off my sunglasses. I took off my hat. I got down on my knees and said, "Lily, come." And she looked at me. She took two steps forward. She hesitated, and she ran away. And as fast as she could, I chased after her. "Lily, come back, come back." I'd taken care of her most of her life. I fed her, I bathed her, we took her for walks, we played with her, we protected her. But she didn't know me. Even so, she ran away from the one that wanted to save her, and my heart was broken. We narrowed down the search to 1,000 acres to where she was. We made a map of it. We went online, we made a map of the area. We gave it to people who were searching and said, here's where she was seen. Here's these roads. The parameter is about 1,000 acres. And people were sitting in their cars with binoculars at strategic areas waiting to spot her during the day. I got blisters on my feet from walking miles through the roads and the brush. It was so hot, people were getting dehydrated. And I said, if we're getting dehydrated, how can this little one-year-old dog survive out here? And my wife Debbie and I ate our meals out there, hoping that the smell would bring her in. And she'd smell it and say, "Hey, there's food." But we weren't going to give up. We were going to keep searching for her until we found her. No matter what the cost, we're going to find that dog. We bought 3 trail cameras that had a link that sent photos to my cell phone. We bought 2 big animal traps over 6 foot long. We hired a tracker who came out with her dogs to look for Lily. It wasn't cheap. And nothing. Not a single trap was tripped. Not a single picture was taken of her. I got lots of pictures of coyotes, but no pictures of Lily. Debbie kept saying, I want to walk out in the field where Lily walked every day and see her running up to me. That's all I want. Lily hadn't been back to the field once since she was lost. She'd been there literally over 100 times to that field. She hadn't made it back to the field where she was lost. We lived out in the woods. Wednesday passed, Thursday passed, no sign of her. We kept thinking, could we be searching in the wrong area? We were thinking that all the searchers that were out there looking for a problem may have scared her away. Maybe she went east. Maybe she went toward the bombing range because she was afraid of all the people in the area. And so we made a hard decision on Friday and asked people to stop searching for her. Don't look for her anymore. Let us look for her because she's afraid. Please stay away. On one road, we put up a sign that says, "Please stay off this road. We're looking for our dog." Friday, day 5 had passed. Will we ever find her? I told Debbie, if she dies out here, I don't know if I could live with that. I'll have to keep looking for her corpse. We received a symphony card from someone in Cause. "I'm so sorry, your dog is dead." Then at daybreak on Saturday, we saw that she had dragged her leash up and down the power lines where we normally drive in to the field. She knew the road. She's still in the area. She's alive. Our hope is renewed. We searched Saturday till after midnight, but still no sign of her. On Sunday morning, day 7, I had to preach at another church at 8 o'clock, so we were out in the field at 4:30 in the morning, drove the Jeep out there, and we were with flashlights, and again, we saw she walked into the power lines, and we said, tonight, we're spending the night under the power lines, hoping, because we were afraid to scare her off, but this time, maybe Lily wants to be found. And while we were searching at 4:30 in the morning, 5:30 rolls around, and I said, well, you know, I got to get back to the house, so I got to take a shower and preach this morning. And at 5:30, my camera went off, and there's a picture of Lily pulling her leash by one of the traps. She wouldn't go in, but at least we knew she looked okay. She was close. That afternoon, around 3 p.m., we were driving down one of the dirt roads right on the field where we lost her. And on top of our Jeep tracks was a Lily leash pull. She was just there. Just there. About 2 minutes ago, she was just here. So we stopped the Jeep. It was so dusty, you couldn't tell what direction the track was going. All you could see was a leash drag, and there's tracks going toward the field, and there were tracks going toward a road. I took the road, Debbie took the field, and I went about a quarter of a mile, lost it in the woods. Debbie went about another quarter mile the other direction, lost it in the field. I marked the spot with a stick and said, well, this is where she either came out of the woods or went into the woods, but this is a clue. As Debbie was nearing the Jeep, she saw Lily. And we said to ourselves, if we see Lily again, we're not going to get on our knees. We're going to lay on the ground. And so Debbie laid on the ground. And Lily ran up to her, nuzzled her, and Debbie grabbed her. And then Lily climbed in her lap and said, yes, I'm home. She was happy to be found. Debbie was so happy that she carried Lily back to the Jeep. She said, I'm not going to lose this dog again. It's day 7. I was down the road. I left my cell phone in the Jeep. And Debbie started blaring the Jeep horn to share the good news. We were so excited that we left everything in the field. We had another vehicle. We left that in the field. We left the traps in the field, the cameras, her crate, all our stuff. We loaded Lily in the Jeep. We went home. And we checked her over. And there were no sign of any injuries at all. And the vet thought she may have bit her tongue that day when I ran over her nose. Lily was excited. The Lord had answered our prayer. It was a miracle. We celebrated. That day we were driving home, we were calling people in the Jeep. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? It's great to celebrate good news and to share good news. That Friday, we had invited everybody who helped in the search to a Lily party at our house with food and wine, and even the mail carrier stopped and came into the house to celebrate the return of Lily. We wanted everyone to rejoice with us because Lily, who was lost, was now found. And we had a prayer to thank God, and everybody knew why we were there. I take the time to tell you the story. It's a long story. But it makes a point. And as joyful as it was for us to find Lily, it ain't nothing compared to the story you're about to hear. Because the story I'm about to tell you, you're in it. Not a dog, but you are in this next story. Please follow along in your notes from Luke 15, 1 through 7. Now tax collectors and sinners were drawing near him, that's Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So Jesus tells this story about a man who's a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one goes missing. If he does not find that sheep will die. And Jesus says, no matter the cost, I will go after that lost one until he finds it. I'm not giving up, the shepherd says. And the one sheep is so dear to the shepherd, he leaves 99 to seek and to save that which was lost. In your notes, this tells us that, A, the love of Jesus is proactive. It's proactive. He does not say, you got yourself lost, now get yourself unlost. I'm not going after you. I'm not using my resources and my time to follow that one sheep. He doesn't say that. He does not wait until the sheep starts making its way back home. He searches until he finds the one that is lost. Your memory verse for this morning comes from Luke 19:10. Can you say this with me? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The two parts of that. To do what? Seek and to save. If he doesn't seek and does not find, you're not saved. With all his heart, all his strength, he gives it to seek and to save the lost. And when the shepherd finds it, the shepherd doesn't let the sheep walk home. He joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And if the good shepherd didn't find us, we would be lost forever. And in your notes, A, when the Bible says that we are lost, it literally means we're perishing, being destroyed. That's what that means. We're perishing, being destroyed. Not just wandering around aimlessly. It means that we're perishing and being destroyed. But Jesus, our good shepherd, searches for us until he finds us. And that's why Jesus came to be our Savior, to save us. From John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, the bad news is that all of us like sheep have strayed. We have left God's path to follow our own. That's the bad news. But the good news is the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. That was on Good Friday. That's why we call it Good Friday. The bad news is so often lost people don't know they're lost. And the Savior comes looking for them. And they don't recognize him. Like Lily running away from those who are trying to help her, we run away from God. And see, we have a loving God, the one who created us. He created us. And number two, the one who feeds us. Number three, the one who protects and watches over us. And number four, the one who will never forsake us. And five, the one who died and rose for us. And the one, number six, who searches for us. You know, when Lily saw me and I was down on my knees, I took off my glasses and my hat and I was down on my knees. She says, Lily, come. And when she turned around and ran away, it really broke my heart. I started to cry. Can you imagine how God feels when we run away from him? The one who created you, the one who loves you, the one who feeds you, takes care of you, and we run away from him? It must break God's heart. You know, there's a scene in the Bible from Matthew 23:37, when Jesus was overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and you can hear how his heart was broken. He's overlooking the city, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's like when he repeats it twice, it's like a term of endearment. Sweetheart, honey, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. What a word picture that is. The mother hen who sat on those eggs, who hatched those eggs, who were taking those chicks and feeding them. And danger comes, and the mother hen is clucking, saying, come on, come on, get under my wings. And the chicks just run off. And Jesus said, I would have gathered you, but you weren't willing. So, you know, we pull out all the stops to find something that's lost. I see people out here sometimes with metal detectors. Maybe it was an engagement ring or a wedding ring, something that's dear to you. We care about lost animals. We care about lost people. If we care so much about finding lost things, lost animals, and lost people, how much more do you think your Heavenly Father cares about finding those who are spiritually lost? God is passionately committed to finding the lost people like you and me. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God went looking for them. Adam, where are you? Well, God knew where they were. And when people of Israel cried out in agony of the slavery of the Egyptians, God sought them out. And he came down to deliver them. And God's people kept losing their way, and he kept sending judges and prophets to lead them, to guide them, to speak to them. And when the world was lost in its hopelessness of sin, God sent his only one begotten son, Jesus, to save us, to rescue us. And God says, I don't care what the cost is. We're pulling out all the stops. I only got one son. He's going to die for you. God is infinitely committed and passionate about finding people who are lost. And this is what this whole chapter of Luke 15 is all about. You just heard the parable of the lost sheep. But maybe the people listening to this parable didn't have sheep. Maybe they were business people. But everyone had money. So Jesus tells the story about a woman who lost a coin. Follow along in your notes. It's called the parable of the lost coin. Jesus says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house diligently until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Did you get that part? See, lost the coin, but it says that she will look for it and she will not stop until she finds it. The reason Jesus told these parables, he wanted you to know how passionate where his heart is. He's not just a God that created the world and left. He's here looking for people, finding people, no matter what the cost, until he finds the one who was lost. Jesus says, I'll tell you, there's... And when he finds that one, he says, I tell you, there's more rejoicing in the presence of angels and of God over one sinner who repents. You know, the point of these parables is the diligent searching and seeking of the man and the woman in the story to find their lost possession, and then they're rejoicing once they find it. God is passionate like that. And Jesus is saying, do you want to know God the Father's heart? Do you want to know God's heart? He said, and not in your notes, but Jesus tells one more parable in this section of parables. And you know the story. It's the story of the prodigal son, where the son leaves and then he comes to his senses and comes back. Listen to what happens when the father sees his lost son when he's returning. He's looking down the way. Jesus said, so the son got up, he got up and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. The word compassion literally means the father's heart went out to him. The father's heart went out to him. You know, no one expected Jesus to describe a father in that way. First century fathers were dignified. They would have written off their son. Well, he ran away. You made your bed, now lie in it. I'm not going after you. they would be perceived as dead. But this father, when he saw his son approaching, didn't judge him. He showed him mercy. He didn't wait for his son to make it to the house. He went out to meet him. He felt compassion. He was running out to his son. He hiked up his robe. What a sight that was. This dignified old guy hiking up his robe, running to meet his prodigal son who had run away. And the father received him with hugs and kisses and joy in his heart. See, the son had an empty heart. He was spent. The father's heart went out to refill it, replenish it. You know, the people listening to this story, the scribes and the Pharisees and all the people who were sitting out listening to Jesus speak, probably were wide-eyed. We've never heard a father described with such love and compassion. This is what God is like. He searches for the lost causes like us to show us his heart. And in the parable, when the son returns, the father kills the fatted calf or the specially prepared calf. And listen to what he says. The father says, "For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. He's found." And they begin to celebrate. That's how God felt about you. That's how God felt about you. He spared no cost to find you. And Jesus says, "There's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus did just that to save us. God the Father gave his only begotten Son to lay down his life on a cross to punish us, punish him for our sins, to rescue us from our lostness. And the angels rejoice that day you were baptized. Ever since my search for Lily, now every time I see a lost dog, I try to rescue them. Especially when I'm in the city, because there's a danger they may be run over by a car and die. I know someone is looking for that lost dog. I know that someone is praying for a miracle and searching for them. And the reason I say this to you is because there are people that are lost spiritually out there. Maybe you know some of them. There are lost people you see every day. Someone somewhere is praying that someone would help in finding them by sharing with them the good news of Jesus. I believe that God is calling you and me to be his voice, sharing his love of the good news of the gospel. God is saying, "I have a heart for the lost. Let me give you my heart for the lost. I need you to be my voice. I need you to be my arms. I need you to share my love with so many people who are lost. And if they're not found, they will die forever." God is calling you to be an answer to someone else's prayer, to have a heart for the people in your neck of the woods. For empty hearts, broken hearts, bitter hearts, there are people out there that are afraid, that are scared. They don't want to die, but they don't know what the answer is. God's caring heart, his loving and giving heart, comes to rescue, recover, and restore people to himself. But they need to hear the good news. Jesus, your Savior's heart, is about finding the lost. And I know that the angels are waiting, ready to celebrate every sinner who comes to faith in their Savior, Jesus. So let's give them something to celebrate. Share the good news that Jesus loves you, he died for you. Believe in him, and you will have eternal life. Will you pray with me? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the love that you have given us. Again and again, I thank you for helping me find our dog Lily, and may she be a witness of your love and your compassion and the miracles that you still perform and all the people that looked for her. I thank you that, Lord, you have given us a new day in which to live for you. May we live this day to the fullest in light of eternity, knowing that when this day passes, we'll never get it back. But, Lord, our lives will go on forever and ever in a place you call paradise. Help us to give our successes to your glory. Help us to give our failures to your mercy. And, Lord, we pray for those who don't yet know you. May we be your voice. May we share your love. For this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has further taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen.